Alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Okay, Jesus must think we're getting pretty good at this, because instead of just one parable, we have a whole slew of them. We've got seeds and yeast and treasure and pearls and nets. And if parables are meant to give us the right questions or the right frame of reference for things, what do we learn about the reign of heaven from these short parables? Well, we learn it's like a mustard seed, which starts small but grows big. I mean, really big. Now, the mustard seed to the Jewish ear has the hint of something unclean or at least unusual, especially in that context. I mean, Israel, after all, is compared to the great cedars of Lebanon and not to a condiment bush. Perhaps this is a call to faith in God, who is doing mighty things through a small movement. A promise that God is at work even if we can't see it. A parable of hope, perhaps. Mighty growth from small beginnings. Perhaps it's a sign that the reign of heaven is not the grand mansion, but it's the English ivy that's overgrowing it. It's not flashy show of wealth and power, but the slow but sure overcoming. It takes time, but it persists. Then we learn that the reign of heaven is like a pinch of yeast hidden in what is almost 2 5-gallon buckets full of flour. And the language really is, it's hidden. It's not placed. Right? It's kind of like it's done in secret. But that little pinch of leaven in 2 huge 5-gallon buckets worth of flour is enough to leaven the whole lot of it. So the reign of heaven is like yeast. It's a catalyst for growth. It's hidden in the world and it gets everywhere. But a little bit of it will change a whole lot around it. Now here too, yeast has the hint of being something unclean in the Jewish mind. After all, the sign of the Jews is unleavened bread, right? It's getting ready to go out of Egypt, and you don't have time to let the bread rise. But what happens when you bake bread with this flour that had the yeast hidden in it? Well, it rises. You get something unexpected. Now, what does this look like in the real world? Well, as one commentator put it, the kingdom, the reign of heaven, works by contagion in day-to-day friendship. The reign of heaven works by contagion in day-to-day friendship. The reign of heaven affects those around us just by coming in contact with it. Another pithy but true saying is that faith is caught more than it is taught. That what transforms people is the consistent contact they have with people who are already citizens of the reign of heaven. That whether it's parents with their children, us with our friends, the reign of heaven will have an effect on them because it is embedded in our lives in very concrete ways. They too will be infected with the love of Jesus. Then we hear that the reign of heaven is like a great hidden treasure that you stumble across and you sell everything you have to possess it. The reign of heaven is worth buying into without reservation. It's not something you go, meh, over. English author and follower of Jesus, C.S. Lewis, once wrote that Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. If Christianity is false, it ain't worth your time. If it's true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is meh. This parable challenges us to embrace wholehearted commitment to this cause, this way of living our lives, where we love our neighbors with the same wild abandon that God and Jesus has loved us, where we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we visit those in prison, we house the homeless, not because they have earned it or deserve it, but because they need it. And where we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the question this parable raises is, are you all in? With this whole reign of heaven following Jesus thing? Are you all in? The reign of heaven's kind of like the title character from Good Will Hunting, leaving his beloved Baston, his friends, his job, his life, to follow his love to California. Kingdom of heaven's like that. It is of infinite importance. This parable, also in combination with the previous ones we've heard, suggests that God is already active in the world. We just need to discover it. We practiced this during our offering times this summer, right? Where we voice for each other where we have seen God at work this past week. Unearthing the places God's reign has been buried in our world. And when we do unearth it, when we spot the Holy Spirit at loose in the world, we put all our eggs in that basket. But here's a twist. It is done with joy. It's not sacrifice to get to the goal. To live this life of faith is not a sacrifice, but a great joy, and in some ways, a relief. Ah, here it is. I don't have to worry about living this other way. I've got this. I remember one word of advice my father gave me when it came to playing football. I made my high school football team. And one of the first things he said to me was, don't go out half-hearted. Play full out. Pardon the language, but he said it's when you go half-assed that you get hurt. So are we all in on this reign of God thing? Do we even think of it in terms of something to be treasured in that way? And the reign of heaven is like a merchant searching for something. So it is both the unexpected thing that breaks into your life and changes it, and it's the thing that you look for, and when you find it, again, you're all in. It's valuable above all other things, even when people think you're crazy for paying that cost. And finally, the reign of heaven is like net fishing. Now, this particular one that's described is actually one I've seen happen one time when I was a kid on the eastern shore. You take one end, you stand right at the surf line, and you plant it, and somebody goes straight out with the other end into the water. And then while you're standing there, they come into the shore. Now, what's that net going to catch? Everything. And trust me, there is everything from stingrays to fish to garbage, right? It brought in everything. And so, the kingdom gathers everyone. Now, back a couple of weeks ago, we learned that we are to spread the seed of the word when? Everywhere and always, right? We spread the seed of the word everywhere and always. The kingdom of heaven gathers everyone. To paraphrase a t-shirt that was famous in my youth, evangel them all, let God sort them out. Because that's the point, right? Who separates the weeds and the wheat? We heard that one last week. The angels, God, the heavenlies, right? It ain't us. So the reign of heaven is not discriminatory. It takes in everyone and everything. So we just go out, bring it all in all of its wonderful messiness and diversity, and let God figure it out later. The reign of heaven that we live in, that we work to bring others into, is like all of those things. It's the little stuff that, when it is the reign of heaven, grows big. Ministries like Matthew 25 in Cedar Rapids, the Christian church itself, but it's also the faith of people like Nadia Bowles Weber, C.S. Lewis, and countless other anonymous people who have had the reign of heaven brush up against them, embodied often in folks just like you, on the playground, at VBS, at the office, while you're standing in the checkout line. It's like a little bit of yeast thrown into a huge mound of flour that still manages to change all of it. You might not notice it now, but boy, you sure will find out later when suddenly you've got a loaf and not flatbread. It's the way that seeds of faith get planted. It's the faith glitter that comes off us as we live out the reign of God in the world. And let me tell you, that stuff gets everywhere, don't it? It's a treasure we both pursue and we bump into unexpectedly. But whenever and wherever we encounter it, we're all in. It is of infinite importance in our lives. Note, I didn't say it's the only thing that's important in our lives, but it is everything, and it trumps all else. Family, political party, country, race, ethnicity, you name it. The reign of heaven is a week of VBS where we learn that God loves you no matter what, that God is with us everywhere, that God is stronger than anything, even death. And that God is surprising, showing up in the smallest seed, being the yeast in unlikely places, showing strength and power through love and submission, loving enemies, praying for those who persecuted God. Seed, yeast, treasures, pearls, nets. The reign of heaven is like all of these things, and it's like none of them. It's like God in Jesus loving you in all of your messiness with perfect love and with wild abandon. And it's like a group of folks in central Iowa gathering each week to sing and to speak and to listen and to receive the life-giving word that has claimed and called all of us in the bath. The reign of heaven is hidden to be found, searched for. It's surprising, persistent, it's powerful. And thanks to the love of God and Jesus Christ, it is ours. A gift, not to be hoarded, but to be shared. So let's just go and do that.